is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Kyle Reed of the Douglas Forest Protective Association with us today. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we had that rain yesterday. There was a potential for lightning and things like that, and a little more timid than maybe we were expecting.
Yeah, we had the forecast for thunderstorms for the southern and eastern portions of Douglas County yesterday, issued by the National Weather Service. So we were keeping a pretty close eye on that. Thankfully, those storms, at least the lightning portion of that, stayed out of our area. So the Southwest ODF district down in Jackson, Josephine County picked up a little bit of lightning, and it kind of skirted around us farther to the east in Douglas County. But luckily, no lightning on DFPA protected land.
Now, we talked about in a weather segment, in fact, one of the first things I wanted to find out this morning was just exactly how much rain Roseburg got. 0.20. What about some of the other areas?
So, you know, we were talking about this before it came on the air, and, you know, when I left work yesterday, it was flat coming down here in Roseburg, but once you kind of got out of the immediate area, there wasn't a lot of precipitation. So, you know, just North Bank, there's a remote weather station up there, recorded zero precipitation. The same was true with Mount Yonkala and Silver Butte. So, really, once you got outside of kind of the Roseburg green area, it was relatively dry.
And people go, oh, okay, this will really help fire danger. Well, maybe, maybe not.
Yeah, so there's two ways to look at that. So in the short term, yes, when you get some precipitation like that for a day or two, it makes a huge difference. The flip side of that is in the long term, it's not enough really to make a dent with how far behind we are in rainfall and the drought situation that we have, especially with a shower like we got yesterday that really just dumped a lot of rain really quick. I always like to use the analogy of, you know, a bucket of water. If you dump that bucket out on a log, most of that water is going to run off and it's not going to absorb into the moisture or into the fuels. But if you take that same bucket, put a pinhole in it and let it slowly drip out, more of that moisture is going to absorb. So we'd rather see a longer duration event rather than a quick downpour.
And what are our conditions right now? What do things look like?
Well, you know, right now, you know, things obviously are very dry. We've talked about that numerous times this spring leading into fire season. You know, the drought is still here. Right now, the drought conditions throughout Douglas County are either in a severe or extreme drought category. And when you look across the state, the entire state is in drought conditions to some level. And that's really reflective on the fuels that we're seeing here locally and across the state is we're seeing, you know, the dead fuel moisture content, which we follow really closely during fire season, about a month or so ahead of where we should be. So we're seeing, you know, fuel moisture readings and energy release components right now that are more typical for the early to mid-July timeframe. So right now, our saving grace has been that live fuel moisture content and the vegetation slowing down fires. But once that goes away, we're going to see a big uptick probably in fire activity.
How common is it for all of the county to be in either severe or extreme drought?
Well, you know, when you look back, this is about year four for the drought. So it's happened. You know, it's not somewhere obviously where we want to be going into fire season, but there's not much we can do to control that. The bigger factor here is probably that, you know, multi-year drought, and it has a compounding effect on the fuels. And when you have, you know, drought situation year after year after year, those larger diameter fuels don't absorb enough moisture like they should. So like we're seeing right now going into a fire season, they're much drier than normal. So that's kind of where that big spike that we're anticipating down the road here in fire danger comes from, is that material is much drier than it should be. So then when we throw, you know, the normal summer weather, the warm, dry conditions on top of that, it's going to dry out much quicker than normal. So fire activity should spike sooner than later.
I was at a meeting out towards Winston on Sunday, first time I had been out there in a while. And just looking at that area, and especially along Interstate 5, right by the South Umpqua River. I was, you know, a little bit surprised to see just how dry it was looking on the hillside.
Yeah, so those south-facing slopes and those shallow soils have already turned. In addition to the stuff down along, you know, the valley bottom. So driving up and down I-5, you know, Roseburg down through Myrtle Creek is, you know, basically all that grass is dead. Once you get into, you know, kind of the oaks and the conifers, you know, the grass will hang on a little bit longer in there. It's got a little bit more moisture, a little bit of a shade component. But, you know, we're anticipating that stuff to turn quickly as well this year.
Now, what are we looking at? I know the forecasts always shift as we go along, but you've got access to some of the NOAA data looking towards the rest of the summer.
Yeah, so, you know, kind of looking out that three-month time frame from June through August, you know, the weather from NOAA and the meteorologists with the Department of Forestry are calling for overall above normal temperatures and below normal precipitation. You know, kind of the forecast last time I watched it from the ODF meteorologists leading up to June, you know, they kind of said June was going to be closer to normal than not, but over that three-month time frame, you know, they're expecting to see those warmer and drier conditions prevail and kind of be the dominating force there.
And that's basically what we had last summer, too.
Yeah, it is. You know, we started off the summer really good, and really in terms of a fire season, last summer went amazingly well up until September, and then we had, you know, the windstorm on Labor Day, like everybody knows, and what happened there. But up until that point, you know, we had a fairly average fire season.
Now, what about the potential for this fire season? What do you see?
Yeah, so one of the other kind of metrics that we follow is kind of looking at the potential for large fires. And those large fires are classified as 100 acres or larger in timber or brush, or 300 acres or larger in the grassy component areas. So basically for that June timeframe, portions of Southwest Oregon, basically Jackson, Josephine, and then kind of the southern and eastern portions of Douglas County, see that increased potential for a large fire. And, you know, unfortunately, once we move into that July through September timeframe, all of Western Oregon is elevated to that increased potential for large fire, in addition to a lot of Central Oregon as well. And, you know, when you're kind of looking there at the maps, a lot of the West Coast, Pacific Northwest, and, you know, portions of Idaho, Montana, Nevada, California, Arizona, we're all going to see increased potential here at different months throughout the summer. And, you know, when you look at kind of the national headlines, a lot of the West is in drought condition. So it's kind of expected.
Yeah, I was looking at your maps here, and it, you know, July and August just frankly don't look that good when you see how much of Oregon, I mean, it's all of Western Oregon with that significant potential. And like you said, the other states as well, and getting worse by August.
Yeah, and you know, that's a trend that we follow. You know, obviously we'll have to wait and see how that pans out, but it's not great to see that increased potential over not only just a large portion of Oregon, but a lot of the West, because ultimately, if, you know, fires all start breaking out at, you know, similar time frames, we're all going to be trying to get the resources, you know, additional resources. And, you know, unfortunately, like we saw last year, there is a limited number of, you know, contract crews and other resources from outside of the area that we can draw from. And, you know, we don't want to be in that situation again where, you know, there's nothing coming to help like we saw last year, just because the entire wildland system was taxed out.
So what are we at right now in terms of year-to-date fire stats?
Yeah, so for DFPA, we're at 46 fires that have burned 315 acres since the beginning of the year, and that's up considerably from where we should be. So looking at kind of our 10-year average, we should be about 17 fires for 86 acres, so that's quite a big uptick there. Looking at the statewide data, we're seeing the same thing across the ODF and other Forest Protective Associations as well. So statewide, we're up to about 338 fires that have burnt 5,700 750 acres. And that, again, is up considerably from the 10-year average for this time of year, where statewide we should be about 157 fires for about 1,400 acres. So, you know, a lot of that comes right back to those that dry winter and spring we saw, and how receptive the fuels are to new fire starts.
So not only are the number of fires that have already taken place statewide more than double the 10-year average, the number of acres is like off the charts.
Yeah, and you know, that's really the worrisome thing is, you know, a lot of those acres come from a handful of fires. You know, the fire outside of Joseph, part of that was on ODF. There was a large fire down in the Klamath Falls area. So most of those have been, you know, most of those acres are from one or two fires, but overall we're seeing more fires and more acres than normal.
Going to take a break. More when we come back on Inside Douglas County. Kyle Reed of the Douglas Forest Protective Association. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Douglas County, 1249, News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1. Your Q with Shannon Sebastian, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. And on tomorrow's program, Kelly Leonard from Music on the Half Shell. Tomorrow morning, they reveal the Half Shell lineup. We'll talk about the artists that are going to be playing this summer, the return of summer concerts to Stewart Park, and all of that with Kelly Leonard on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. Kyle Reed of the Douglas Forest Protective Association with us today, going through the fire situation and where things stand right now. And as we get into more things happening outside, more people being outdoors, warm weather heating up, then people are outside and they make mistakes or things happen, and you get more fires as we get, you know, into the warmer conditions here.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we went into fire season a little bit earlier than normal this year on May 28th, you know, just because of the warm and dry conditions we saw or received in the uptick in fires. And, you know, a lot of that was trying to curb some of the debris burning, keeping people from, you know, unintentionally starting a wildfire. But as we're moving forward, like we mentioned before the break, we're seeing more fires than normal for this time of year.
And what's the stats between how many fires are caused by humans, how many fires are caused by things like we saw last year with Archie Creek when you've got weather conditions that fuel that?
So, you know, looking at our fires over the last 10 years, about 77% of those have been human-caused fires, and that ranges a wide range of topics, and about 23% of those have been lightning-caused. So kind of breaking down our top human-caused fires there, about 33% of those are under the equipment use category, and that's kind of a catch-all that catches everything from lawnmowers and power equipment to vehicles and power lines and kind of that whole wide range of things there. Our next highest category at 14% of our fires is debris burning. And a lot of those fires we see kind of in, you know, the pre and post fire season time frame, kind of on those shoulders. You know, we put fire restrictions on to limit those activities. So obviously there's a handful of fires that happen every year that are caused by people either who don't know the restrictions or don't care about the restrictions. But most of those happen before or after fire season. And then about 10% of ours fall under the recreation category. And that's going to be, you know, people out, you know, recreating, whether it's driving off improved roads or having a campfire that they don't extinguish, target shooting, different things like that.
And when we are in these drought situations, I mean, everything gets drier and drier and drier. I would think that that means sometimes just a little, you know, honest mistake that somebody makes could be a bigger impact than if the ground wasn't so dry.
Yeah, exactly. And kind of when you look and what's happening on the landscape right now. There's no new activities that are taking place. There's no new fire starts or different kinds of fire starts. There are more people than there were, you know, 10 or 20 years ago. So that's going to play into it a little bit. But when you look at, you know, just the fuel conditions, you know, an activity taking place, you know, for example, say mowing, you know, 20 years ago when, you know, conditions weren't quite as severe as we saw now or are seeing now, may not have caused a fire. But with how dry everything is, from the fuels and the drought condition, it doesn't take a lot to spark a fire. So we're seeing kind of an uptick there in different things that historically may not have caused as many fires, and we're seeing more of those now.
What about the impact of the snowbageddon, snowpocalypse, whichever one you want to call it, from a few years ago? There was so much devastation. A lot of that got cleaned up, but a lot of it in more isolated areas didn't.
Yeah, that's something we're still living with. You know, a lot of landowners went in and did everything they could to salvage some of that wood, get stuff cleaned up, but we're still running into the impacts of that. And some of that's going to be access, trying to get into some of those places. You know, we see a lot of people, you know, they'll cut out a small enough path to get a four-wheeler through some of those roads or a small pickup. But getting that large fire apparatus in there, a lot of times we're still trying to buck roads out with chainsaws and opening up access. And then from there, it's just the extra fuel component. And, you know, every year that stuff's on the ground, that fire potential is a little bit more because it's just a dead fuel source that's drying out and waiting for a fire to burn. So that's definitely something we're continuing to watch. And, you know, when we have fires reported in those areas, we're definitely adjusting a response because of that.
And while some plants have grown back in some of those areas, I mean, you really, when you say fire scar, you really have a literal fire scar.
Yeah, and you know, that's the other thing with the fire scar areas is, you know, they pose a whole nother set of risks. So, you know, we've had a number of large fire scars over the years here, over the last 8 years here, from Douglas Complex to Stouts Creek and Cable Crossing to Milepost 97, Horse Prairie, and now Archie Creek. And, you know, some of those lands have been mitigated the risks with some of those snags or dead trees removed, and some of the lands haven't. So in some of those places where there's still a lot of standing dead trees on the landscape, that poses a whole nother safety risk in the future with firefighters and putting people on the ground, just because each year that goes by, that material continues to deteriorate and is less stable.
Now, can you go into these areas and do anything to lessen the potential for all these problems?
Yeah, so, you know, there is opportunities to go in and do some, you know, pre-fire treatments in these areas, whether that's removing some of that material or, you know, improving or creating existing fire trails. So after some of these fires, we've worked with landowners and public land management agencies to, you know, keep some of those fire trails on key ridges in place. So different things like that can make a big difference in the future if there is another fire or when there is another fire in those areas.
About a minute and a half left. Talk about the current fire restrictions that are in effect now.
Yeah, so the restrictions that are in effect went in with fire season. So kind of the big one right now is backyard debris burning is prohibited. The public use restrictions are in effect as well, and those are very similar to what we saw in years past with mowing and chainsaw use and, you know, restrictions on fireworks and campfires and all that stuff. Full lists of those restrictions can be found on our website at dfpa.net. They're also posted on our social media accounts. And we also have a 24-hour information line that people can call into, get the fire danger and what those current restrictions are. And that number is 672-0379. And again, that's a recording that anybody can call into and get that information.
Well, it's going to be an interesting summer.
That definitely is. You know, we're shaping up for another busy year, and we're asking the public to help us by doing their part by preventing new fires.
All right, Kyle Reed of the Douglas Forest Protective Association, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.